Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
7:15.
Barrett Jones is an ECS product, national champ at Alabama. Now spends some of his Saturdays calling games on ESPN Radio. He joins us. Now, Barrett, what's up, brother?
How are you doing, guys?
So I saw
pretty
this.
Good.
That was quite the intro right there.
Oh, you like that one?
You know, people don't typically, like, I don't know why, but they don't typically pick, like, you know, soul-type songs for me. You know, it's normally like, hey, you know, here comes the crusty private school kid. You know,
that's
we'll
right.
play some, like, you know, maybe like 80s music or something. You know, so I like that. That's
yeah.
good.
Well, I've happened to see your low post moves, man, and those are very smooth. You know, so I thought, you know, 80s, you know, R&B, that'd be right up your alley.
I like that. I appreciate that. That's big time.
So, look, I saw this tweet yesterday from Lane Kiffin, and it's so obvious, like, what he's doing, but it's just funny that he's going to this extreme. He tweets, "Please stop poking the bear. They are loaded and don't have any holes." It's, of course, in reference to Alabama. "Best team in America by far." I mean, this is obviously coming from somebody that has worked with Nick Saban directly, and it's because he doesn't want to give him anything, right? Isn't that what this is all about?
Yeah, I think it's hilarious. I mean, it's pretty funny the fact that an SEC coach is constantly tweeting, basically subtweeting Nick Saban. Like, that's pretty amazing when you really step back and think about it. And not only an SEC coach, but like it seems like a really good SEC coach of a really good team this year. So, it is funny, and it's not his first time. You know, he's always saying stuff about Alabama on Twitter. It's kind of like that movie Dodgeball. It's a bold strategy. You'll see if it pays off for him.
Yeah, he said, "I wish the media would stop upsetting Coach Saban." Like, it really is classic.
It really is classic. Like, I think he's just having fun with it. And, you know, I mean, look, obviously internally, he wants to beat Nick Saban, and he's saying, I'm sure, a very different tune to his team. But it's pretty hilarious what he's putting out there.
What do you think, not to look past, you know, mighty Southern Miss, which Alabama's got this weekend, obviously 45-point favorites over them, but what are you sort of expecting when Ole Miss goes to Tuscaloosa? You know, if Florida, and I realize that was in the swamp, but they put up, what, 440 yards? How many Corral and that Ole Miss offense going to put up on you?
Yeah, I'll say it'll be interesting. You know, I thought that Alabama's defense going into this year was going to be much improved. I still think they are. I think they are much improved, and I think they have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. That was a really poor performance by them, specifically in the run game. I do think that the secondary for Alabama is pretty strong, if I were Alabama fan, which I am, obviously, I wouldn't be as concerned about maybe Matt Corral even as I would their running game. I think they've got two really good running backs. And if Alabama can't slow down that rushing attack, you know, that's it kind of all stems from there. When you can run the ball against somebody like Florida ran it against Alabama, it makes it a lot tougher to slow them down. And especially with the fact that Ole Miss's passing attack obviously is a lot more potent than Florida's, It could be trouble if they don't get some things right in the next few weeks.
You know, Tony Barnhart made the point with us this week. I think he wrote it, too, that that's actually probably going to end up being a great thing for Saban because now you got to listen to every word coming out. You use that close win to say, I told you guys, like, you guys think we're a finished product, we're going to go winning that. I told you you know him so well. Do you think that's what it's been this week in terms of Saban and talking to those guys? Like, I told you so, we still got work to do, and they got to listen, right? Is that how it's gone?
Oh my goodness, 100%.
Okay.
Somewhat. I'll say this: Coach Saban is unbelievable at telling the players what they need to hear. And so, I would say probably some of the times where you get ringed the most are probably times like this where you win the game, especially if it's against a good team. That's probably the time where he really takes time to coach. The times where you lose a game, or maybe even win a game, but you feel like the team needs confidence. He's much different than maybe you expect. Like, you would expect him when your team loses to go off on people, and normally it's the opposite. Normally he's more encouraging during those weeks because he understands, hey, my team doesn't need to be brought down. They're already low enough. I got to bring them up. So he does a great job of kind of keeping his finger on the pulse of the team and understanding what they need to hear. And I have a feeling that this week probably was the week they needed to hear. They got a long way to go if they want to be a championship caliber team.
How come you've never, we've been having you on the show for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. How come you never told us the legends of Nick Saban and Dees? How come we had to hear that from, whoever that was in the press conference? I mean, I feel like we've had ample opportunity for you to tell us the legends of Nick Saban and Dees.
Well, these kind of jokes are very personal. I mean, you can't just go around telling these jokes to anyone.
I mean, is he really like the kind of – like, it's funny because you just never – you have this perception of Nick Saban. You see him on the sidelines. You're up 21-0. He's ripping somebody's head off. Like, you just have a hard time compartmentalizing that could be the same guy in practice making D's jokes. But, like, was that really commonplace, or was that – what was it kind of like inside practice when Nick Saban was feeling, kind of frisky?
I'll just say that he's a lot funnier than you think. I'm just going to say that. He really is pretty funny, and certainly once the media leaves, he gets a little bit looser with jokes, and he likes to have a good time. So,
do you think most coaches are like that? Do you think most coaches are like that, Barrett? Like, they sort of put this personality on where it's, real football coach, but then when it's just, them and the team, they're a different person?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say he's a different person. I mean, look, he's still intense. I mean, you certainly got to understand when the time is to joke with him. I mean, you picked the wrong time. You gotta be very careful when you're handling dynamite. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't say, I'm not gonna overdo it to say he's just jovial and can joke around with him anytime, or he's a different person. But I mean, he ultimately, the thing that people forget about Coach Saban, like, he loves coaching football. He really does. Like, he loves teaching the game. He's probably at his happiest during practice. Like, he loves practice every day. He loves being out there, and unless we're having a terrible practice, he's usually in a pretty good mood during practice because he actually loves coaching and teaching, the players and watching them improve. So I think that you could probably say that's the highlight of his day most days.
How about this job that Sam Pittman has done at Arkansas? I mean, he's making $3 million. Mike Leach is making $5 million at Mississippi State. And how much of a chance do you give them at home this weekend against Texas A&M?
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that game. They've done a great job, Sam Pittman has, and obviously – they certainly beat the other Texas team pretty handily. That was an awesome game to watch.
Yep.
I don't know. I love Sam Pittman. Like, I'm all about O-line coach, become head coach, that kind of mentality. I love it. So I root for Sam Pittman, root for his teams. What kind of chance are they giving against Texas A&M? I think a pretty good one. I mean, I feel like there's really not a reason for us to think that Texas A&M is an elite team other than just the fact they were ranked there preseason.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Now they might be, obviously, if you want to talk about talent, they have a lot of talent in certain spots. They have a lot more talent than Arkansas throughout their team, if you're going to go on a recruiting basis. But, man, if you look at just the product of what both teams have produced on the field this year, Arkansas certainly has a much better resume with the way they've played up to this point, maybe with the exception of the first half of their first game. Than Texas A&M does. So, yeah, I don't know what it'll be like. Will Texas A&M finally play up to their potential? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of question marks right now, and the big question mark going into the year for Texas A&M was a quarterback, and I think that question mark certainly has only gotten bigger.
We're talking to Barrett Jones. ECS product, multiple time national champion here on the show. Do you think one day we're going to look up and the playoff is going to be 12 teams?
Yes, 100%.
What's this all about? What's this all about? Then this whole, you know, the stupid charade we're playing here. Then,
I mean, you guys, I'm not like a big politics. I mean, I'm the biggest politics guy, but yeah, I follow it really with respect to my other job. I work in finance, so I just follow what's going on with the passage of legislation. And there's just posturing, guys. There's always posturing before these things get passed. There's always random stuff that, you know, that's thrown out, and these guys aren't going to show up. And there's just, you know, it's the same kind of thing that's happening right now in college football. And the bottom line is it's going to get done. That's what the fans want. They want people to watch their sport. Ultimately, it'll be 12 teams, but there's going to be some posturing. Everyone's mad at the SEC right now because, you know, they went out and made the first big move and didn't tell anybody else, which, by the way, I tell people all the time, like, people are mad. Anyone who's mad at Greg Sankey, I mean, don't hate the player, hate the game. Like, this is the way it works right now. Greg Sankey's not responsible for college football. He's responsible for the SEC. He made his product better. The other commissioners, it's their job to make their conferences better. So, yeah, I think it's ultimately will definitely get done. The SEC's in a position right now where they really win either way. They're going to win if they keep it at four. And if they expand it to 12, then they'll just get more teams in. So I think ultimately it will certainly be 12 because that's what they've decided on. And once everyone cools down, then that's we'll get that. It might just take an extra few years.
Now, how about 3-0 Memphis, Barrett? You get snubbed by the Big 12, at least this time around you do, right? You're not one of the UCFs or Houstons that's going now, Cincinnati, that. And then you go out there on Saturday in front of 40-something thousand at your place, Liberty Bowl, and you knock off an SEC team, albeit, you know, the one picked at the bottom of the West, but it's still Mike Leach again, $5 million. It's still Mississippi State, still the air raid. How about that win for Memphis and just the perception of it now? Saw Kalashaw on the other day on Around the Horn saying, man, look, they're RBU. They're running back. Look at all the running backs they've got in the league. We know they're doing this now through, what, three coaches with Fuente and Norvell and now on to Silverfield. What did you think about Memphis picking up that win over Mississippi State, albeit with a little help from the officials?
Well, I thought it was awesome. Yeah. I thought it was really great for Memphis. I mean, you're right. I mean, look at I was having this conversation with a coworker the other day thinking about how many Memphis players, especially running backs right now, are so relevant in the NFL. And Memphis has become has done such a fantastic job of developing talent. Their brand, I think, nationally has really expanded over really the last decade of just what their football team is. And absolutely an SEC win, I don't care who it is, does nothing but help that. And I was really excited for them. You know, when I look at Memphis football, the thing I love about watching those guys play is two things. Number one is they have an identity, and really it's they've had an identity now through three coaches. Yep. It's of just a lot of speed. It's a lot of fun to watch. They've really developed their talent in such a good way. And, man, they play really hard. And I know that sounds cliche, but there's just a ton of film you turn on for other schools. And you can just kind of tell they don't really know who they are. They play, you know, they play kind of hard. That's just not what you see when you turn on Memphis football. And so I think it's pretty cool being a lifelong Memphian, you know, to turn on the TV no matter which conference or school you're a fan of. And you see, you know, the blue helmets with the M's on them, and they're playing good football, and they're playing hard, and they're playing with identity, with a purpose. And, you know, it's just fun to watch. So I'm jacked about Memphis football. I love watching them. I love Ryan Silverfield, another O-line guy who's the head coach now.
That's right. That's right.
And I think they're doing a fantastic job. So, yeah, I have nothing but support. Oh, I wish, you know, that things were different in regard to the conferences. You know, the bottom line is there's all this talk about, well, this team's good. This team, you know, the reality is it's a lot of the decision-making right now being made about conference realignment has to do with TV contracts, and it has to do with the amount of dollars that these schools are making, these programs are making. And so, you know, there's a lot of decisions that go into that. And unfortunately, I think just that's that I wish it were just performance only, because right. If it was, I think Memphis certainly would deserve a spot.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's right. Are you willing to trade Vandy for Memphis? I feel like that's like you guys are getting the better end of the deal than the American in that sense.
How about Tennessee?
Either one.
I'm kidding.
Either one. Two for one there.
SEC has to keep Vandy because Vandy can always keep cheating in baseball. and keep winning national championships. So they have to keep him for that.
Wow.
An academic institution.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a lot to offer baseball-wise. You know,
we
do have a bit of ways to go.
Just last year, I figured out, y'all know about the whole Vandy thing. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to me. I don't understand how it's still, how everyone else can give 11.7 scholarships and Vandy gives out 30 a year because they have some leadership scholarship in baseball. You can't do that in football, but apparently you can still do it in baseball. So all the other SEC schools get really mad at Vandy because they somehow can circumvent the rules.
Well,
if you never read about it.
And it's nice, let's be real, it's nice to have a guaranteed win in the SEC every year, those are hard to come by, but Vandy's always right there.
You're obviously not a Clark Lee believer. So
is anybody a Clark Lee believer?
I think Barrett might be.
I like Clark Lee. If you've ever been there and you see their football facilities and you go to another school, it's a tough sell.
Barrett, if Memphis was the Memphis it is now, you're a 5-star, you're gonna go to Alabama. But would you have let us in the living room? At least if it was a different time and Memphis is the Memphis it is now, back when you were picking schools. That's a no. It's a no. You were still too elite. You were too elite.
I'm a Memphis guy, so I want to just say absolutely. I love Memphis.
You were too
elite. You put me in a tough spot here, man.
Yeah, I knew.
And I got to tell you that you're butchering this, man. You just got to say yes.
Just said, come on in. We can talk.
You said you wanted to let him in the living room.
I was the number 50, I was the 50th player in the country. So, I had all the SEC offers. And again,
yes,
I'm not. I'm really not saying that to toot my own horn at all. I promise.
No, you don't do much of that. That's true.
I'm just saying that that probably was. At that point, I was pretty dead set on playing the SEC. If I'm being honest,
how we want
there,
you.
You don't have to apologize, but Jason is going to put
Memphis
you. He has put you
game,
in an impossible
just,
spot.
I'm not gonna tell you. Yeah. I know probably most people would have just gone with it there. I should have gone with it.
No, we need maybe another 15 or 20 years, Barrett. You know what I mean?
But you would have picked
I'm messing around with
you. Would have picked Memphis over Jim Harbaugh, though, right?
This dude was a 5-star, bro.
You definitely would have gone to Memphis over Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, Harbaugh, yeah.
Have I ever told you all my Harbaugh story before?
I think you have, but I think it's always good to hear it again.
That he came back to you, right, afterwards and said something?
That's right, yeah. So he did. So I'll tell it really quickly, but basically – when I was committing to schools, it came down to Alabama, Florida, kind of Tennessee. They were sort of in trouble. And actually, North Carolina was in my top three. They were, I thought, headed up at that point. Butch Davis was there. I thought they were going to be good. Then
That's
in trouble.
That's right.
But before I committed, I actually called all the coaches and just let them know, hey, I'm releasing this statement tomorrow with this really junior reporter. He's not very good. Anyway, that's a whole different story. I'm glad you caught that. All the coaches were super nice. Really everyone. Urban Meyer was nice. Butch Davis, they were all nice. He said, good luck. You'll be great. And except for Jim Harbaugh. He was not. He said I was making the worst mistake of my life that I would regret forever to a 17-year-old. And I was oh, my gosh, coach, that's so harsh. And so my first game I ever called was Michigan, Florida. It was in Dallas. And I walk into the meeting room to interview him. And I said, hey, coach, Barrett Jones, good to see you. He didn't smile. He didn't say anything. He just looked at me and said, I'm still mad at you. You should have come to Stanford. He was at Stanford this time.
That's ridiculous. That's absurd.
To tell a
17-year-old. And I said, coach, I won 3 national championships. It worked out okay. He said, no, you should have come to Stanford. And I said, coach, you left 2 years later and went to the Niners.
Exactly.
He said, no, you still should have come to Stanford.
Would you have been blocking for Andrew Luck or no? Was he gone at that point?
Yeah, I think I would have been. Yeah, I think I would have been walking for Andrew Luck. But I was like, take your pleated khakis and get out of here, man.
That's right.
I'll take my 3 national titles.
It worked out pretty well for you, man. It worked out pretty well. Hey, Barrett, we know you got to get back to the debt ceiling, man. We appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you so much, Barrett.
All right, I'll get the debt ceiling handled. See you later.
Thank you. Yeah, right. He is Barrett Jones. Catch him on ESPN Radio, college football games every week. SEC national champion, ECS product. Appreciate his time. As always, how about that, man? That's just Bush League. To hold that against somebody for that long.
More just to tell the 17-year-old that you're making the worst decision of your life. That's come on. That's stop.
You really thought you were going to get a kid from Memphis, Tennessee, all the way out to Stanford over Alabama and then the SEC? Yeah. You're crazy.
With that kind of attitude, I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but I will.
that's how you become Jim Harbaugh and you never beat Ohio State, because you have a non-flex sort of attitude with young men.
How about,
I mean, that's stupid.
How about you won multiple national championships? Yeah, it worked out and pretty good for you, big dog. You know
still,
what? You
still should have come.
You're just wrong. You're just wrong.
Still going to say you were wrong. Give me a break.
That's an idiot move.
It is. All right, the Grizzlies have released their promo schedule for the year. That's always fun. What are the best promos? We'll get into that.
Wrestling.
And more when we come back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Thanks to Barrett Jones for joining us on the show today. Got a big one tonight. Not really, but it is a meaningful game for this show because it is Patty's first pick of the week. And it is always nice to come in here on a Friday 1-0. Always nice to come in here as a winner. That is going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Barrett Jones for joining us on the show today. Thanks to Brian Scalabrini for hopping on in the first hour. Gino and Jeffrey are up next. Don't touch that dial. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.